Brigid threw herself back and sideways, lunging to avoid the striking snake. The creature streaked by her, missing by inches. She kept moving, knowing the snake was already preparing to strike again from the sound of the scales gliding through the underbrush. Desperately, Brigid rolled, coming over on her butt, then trying to get to her feet. Branches and brush tore at her, ripping scratches on her face and exposed arms, pulling at her clothing. Despite her control, she gave a choked cry of fear and frustration as the snake struck. Falling back, trying to get more distance between them, Brigid lifted the binoculars, hoping to fend off her attacker. The snake's fangs hammered into the binoculars. Venom slid hot and wet across Brigid's fingers, sending a stinging burn into the scratches the thorns and branches had left. The dull thud echoed among the trees. The snake appeared dazed for a moment. Brigid took advantage of the brief respite and pushed herself to her feet. Her stomach quivered and tried to turn flips. Her knees quaked and barely got under her in time to keep her upright. Abruptly, two branches dropped from overhead. In the adrenaline-driven moment, everything seemed to take place in slow motion. She noted the blaze-white ends of the finger-thick branches and the way the leaves shimmered as they fell to the ground. Both of the branches fell from a fairly straight path. Brigid instinctively looked up, thinking something had to have been in the trees overhead. Her imagination summoned up more snakes draped over the thick limbs, waiting to reach down and seize her. Then the sound of the explosion rolled over her, a sharp crack that she instantly identified as a rifle report. Realizing she was in as much danger from the men she'd spotted earlier as she was from the snake, she ducked low and threw herself into the brush away from the snake. More bullets raked the tree line. Her horse pulled at the tethered reins, rearing frantically as all hell seemed to break loose. Brigid rolled into cover behind a tree and pushed up into a squatting position. Silently, she cursed herself for being so far from help and for trailing Bri by herself. It was a stupid thing to do, maybe lethally so. And if she survived the encounter and Kane heard about it, she knew he'd tell her that. She slid the mini Uzi from her shoulder and cradled it in both hands. Exchanging blaster fire with men equipped with rifles wasn't a good plan either. The subgun was deadly inside a certain radius, but the range was too far, and the 9mm subsonic rounds would bounce off even pencil-thick branches. Leaning around the tree, Brigid gazed down the hill toward the path. The man Bri had met had already disappeared into the forest, but Bri was still on the trail, trying to control his skittish mount. Brigid let out a sigh of relief, knowing the man he'd met hadn't faulted him for them getting spied on. At least not yet. She held the mini Uzi in both hands and fired a full clip at Bri, intentionally missing the man. The bullets slapped into the loose black earth, flinging grassy clods in all directions only a few feet from the computer specialist. Bri's horse gave another series of convulsive heaves and succeeded in unseating its rider. Bri fell heavily to the ground and curled up in a fetal position, his arms wrapping around his head. When the bullets stopped striking the ground nearby, he pushed himself to his hands and knees and crawled toward the nearest shelter. His horse vanished in a heartbeat, kicking up its heels. Satisfied she'd helped convince the gunman that Bri wasn't responsible for the present problem, Brigid whirled back around the tree. Her breath tore rapidly through her throat in burning gasps. She hit the mini Uzi's magazine release and dropped the spent clip. Automatically, with the reflexes drilled into her by Grant and Kane, she scooped up the empty magazine and shoved it into her pants pocket. Empty casings were more plentiful than spare clips. She tugged another clip free of her belt and slid it into the weapon. Bullets continued ripping through the nearby trees, but they were coming more slowly now. At least one of the gunmen had picked up on her position, though. The vibrations of the big rounds striking the trunk carried through the tree she leaned against and echoed against her back. Remembering the snake, she scanned the underbrush again. She saw nothing and didn't know what was worse, seeing the snake in front of her or not knowing where it was.